How many of you like to make choices? You know, in the scriptures, the Word of God always brings out things that it describes us. It says who we are. And sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't like it. But it's always true. No matter how you cut it, it is true. And, you know, we can fight it, we can accept it, we can do a lot of things. But see, that's why there are such things as like choices or alternatives. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about alternatives. And as this week has been going on, it's been a different week. Began the week with the death of Scott Eason, which was... Yeah, and I met some of you do not know Scott, but Scott and Jeannie used to be here all the time, and bless her heart, she passed 3 years ago or somewhere around that, and then Scott, he had lost his life to cancer this week, and you know, so there was a difficult time. They have a daughter that's a senior this year in high school, and now both mom and dad are gone, but you know, it just needs more prayer. We just need to be praying just for strength for that family. So, and I did not know that Charles Stanley had passed. But as I heard that right then, I felt like a void. I mean, he's such a powerful, wondrous man of God that has held the line for years and years and years in the Atlanta area. Well, actually all over the world, because he's broadcast all over the world. So you always have a choice. You know, you could have listened to somebody like that, or you could listen. Well, no, don't say that, Jim. I have to catch myself every once in a while. Sometimes I just say it, but I'm not going to say it this morning, because there's some people I don't think it's worth the time on TV to listen to, but those are my favorite people. But I found three words that are in the scripture, and mostly in our English language this morning, that really describes a Christian. And it's how that Christian takes on the conflicts that come our way. And we have conflicts, correct? I mean, every one of us have it. And whatever level that's on, you know how that is in your personal life. Sometimes it's resolved, and I'm glad to hear the blessing of resolving some things. And sometimes it's still hanging. Christians, it should never hang on your behalf. Now, you can go to somebody and try to make it right. You could do whatever you got to do. But sometimes it just doesn't work. I mean, they're not receiving. But God receives you when you go and you do your part. You can walk away from there and have peace in your heart. And as hard as that is, you can still have peace because God said he would give it to us. But it also describes in the Word how sometimes we don't respond, I guess, the way that we should. When I was a kid, remember, well, some of y'all remember, Mike would remember, he's old enough to remember that. The three R's. You remember the three R's? Now this is hilarious now at my age, now I think about it. The three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Where did they get R's in that? Okay, I got the reading part, but I never could figure out where the R came from in arithmetic and writing. But I always remembered it, so I guess they did what they were supposed to do. I've got a couple R's for you this morning, and they're not the three R's. You're not talking about reading, writing, or arithmetic. It's about how we view things that come our way. One of those R's is resentment. And sometimes we do that. Some of it is what many do, resignation. And the last one is my scripture passage this morning. It's rejoice. And out of the great book that, or the letter that was written to the Thessalonica church, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, Paul simply says, rejoice evermore. That's the way we're supposed to do it. Rejoice evermore. But life is a battle of wills, and we all have one. We know what we want to do, And we usually do that, unfortunately. But there comes a time that man's battle, man's will versus God's will, well, sometimes we don't like where God's going. I mean, that's as simple as I can make it. There's a great contradiction there. God is infinitely more powerful than my little purpose, little things that I want to do. And God's sitting there all the time going, son, you can't see the big picture. You don't see what I have prepared for you down the road. This is what you want to do right now, but I've got something far greater than that that I want to do for you. But you've got to trust me to do that. You see, that's the divine mind versus the human mind. Human mind says, hey, microwave it. And unfortunately, I think God sometimes says, no, it's coming in the crock pot. You know, his time is totally different. But that's who we are. Every one of us are that way. I don't think there's any excuse to say, well, I'm not that way. Because if you do, don't bring it here, because I'm going to tell you you're not that way. You're going to be the kind of person like I am. Maybe not as out there as I am, but we still have our will. You know, we still want things the way that we want them. And sometimes God allows that to go on. You know, he gets to choose. And sometimes if you're really plugged into what the Lord is doing, you'll choose his way. Yeah, we'll be fine with that. But if not, there's always going to be a series of collisions. You ever collided with God? And you lived, didn't you? I mean, it wasn't pleasant, but we collide with God. The psalmist would write in the 37th division of the psalm, David would say, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Is that not true? I believe that's a fact right there. He knew a lot about that because he took steps. Sometimes they weren't quite the way God would have him to do it. But he knew when he wrote this, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Paul goes on and he writes to us in the 8th chapter of Romans when he says, all things work together for good. To who? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, as a Christian, we say we're called according to his purpose because his purpose is far greater than ours. Did God take in consideration my circumstances? You bet he did. He said, well, I'm having it hard. Well, yeah, some other people are having it hard. I think the family that lost somebody this week is having it very hard. I think the Christian world today, at least the preacher side of this thing, are really mourning the very passing of a Charles Stanley. He was a standard bearer. He was one. It's like not probably on the same level as a Billy Graham, but still he held as a pastor great and mighty things that he preached all the time. And I know it's real easy for me to say, well, I know that God's way is the best way. Until it comes down to go against me. And what do I say then? Well, I sure don't say I'm not going to do it. I just simply don't do it. It happens. It happens to preachers. It happens to everybody. But God is so wise and so sovereign that he gives us the best all the time. Yeah, it's easy to consent to the way he wants to go. But when it comes out to living it, that's another part. That's a part that we all need to work for. I have actually thought this. I didn't say it out loud. I don't know why. Why don't you just say it out loud? You ever thought about that? You said it in here. You said it out of here. But why don't you just speak it when it comes to God? I mean, really. I mean, think about that. If you've already said it, you've said it in your mind, what you're thinking about how he did it. I've actually said, have you forgotten to be merciful here? And then I realize, doesn't take long, I realize real quick, he's always merciful. If we got what we deserved, it would not be good. But his mercy endureth forever. And so this morning, look at your Christian life. Don't look at your neighbors. Don't look at wives. Don't look at your husbands. Look at the very fact that our lives are free from the penalty of sin in this regard. When you receive Jesus Christ, no longer are you having to worry about hell. We don't have to. What God has done in our lives, we have been spared the horrors of hell. That's what a Christian life is all about. Now, are we void of physical suffering? No, we are definitely not void of physical suffering. I watched that this week. I've watched it every week of my life. I see people all the time that are suffering, and they're Christians, and they love the Lord, and these things happen to them. But hell's not on that list. It's not on the thing that they have to be worried about. How many suffer mental conflicts? Christians do this all the time. You know, depression comes our way. The mental anguish. How do you deal with this? What are you going to do about this? All of them come our way. We may not be held accountable for Adam's sin, but the consequences of that sin is ever present every single day on us. It's here. It's in this world. It's what we have to face as Christians or even non-Christians. But as I look at people, I see they have no hope. I have a friend, dear friend, a man that I've known actually really within the mother at kind of the very first days that we were in Hewitt. And I mean, that's back in 71. That's a long time ago. But this young family moved in down the block, had three kids, and you know, I watched them all growing up, and now the wife has passed, and the husband is, well, let's put it this way, he's just crotchety. Yeah. He's angry. He is he's everything that you would not want to run into if you want something to brighten your day. You don't want to run into him in that way. And his son-in-law, who I had the privilege to lead to Christ years ago, said he doesn't have God. And as many times have I shared Jesus Christ with him, as many times as I've gotten to talk, but he's right. And that's what the difference is between Christians and the world. We have God. We may not like everything that comes our way, but we have a source that makes all of this go together and come out the way that it's supposed to come out. Yes, there's bitterness. Of course there's bitterness. But when you blend the great mercy and grace that God gives with what little bitterness we have, do we not have a good day then? It's not everything about our lives good then? Yeah, it is. I know, you don't know what I'm going through. I can promise you this, what you're going through, I can find somebody that's going through more. I can point out something that would be so terrible you would not to be. Yes, we face every conceivable evil. It's all out there. Christians are not protected from the evil that comes our way. You're not protected from illnesses. They come your way all the time. We're not protected from financial reversals. You know, the stock market crash, you go with it. I could be like Mr. Ed. You remember Mr. Ed the horse? Anybody? Come on, you old people. He said, Wilbur, I saw the stock market drop 5 points. I'm glad I got my money in hay. It's an old person deal. I know you young ones don't have a clue. You don't know who that is, do you? Well, you've missed out on a lot of wonderful things in life. Yeah, I mean, never mind. Talking horses, yeah, right, okay. Hey, you guys watch cartoons. That's another thing. I'm out visiting Jim De La Rosa. He's out at Ridgecrest now. You could not believe what was on the TV. The very things that one back there watches. Cartoons. They were all seated around watching cartoons. And I'm thinking, go figure. All those years we got chewed on about the cartoons we were watching, and they're watching cartoons now. But I laugh, but I think about it. They're going through hard times, but they're finding a little bit of joy in something as simple as a cartoon. I found some joy in Mr. Ed. So if you two really want to know about this thing, I will tell you about Mr. Ed. He was a great guy. Great horse, excuse me. You know, he was like a guy. He talked like a guy. All of us are called to do trials. All of us are called to endure. Endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are given those things that come to. But I know there are trials sometimes come to the greatest saints of God. And they begin to wander. They do. John the Baptist was that way. Remember what he asked? Is this the one that should come? Or do we look for another one? Could you imagine? This is the cousin of Jesus. And when Jesus is there, He had pronounced that here's the Son of God, here's the one, the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world, all of these things. But even he, when the times got as hard as they got, he said, is this the one or do I look for another? You see, hard times come and you've got alternatives. And in those alternatives, in the middle of all the terrific testings that we get in life, you can do one of those three things. You can resent it, or you can simply resign to accept it, or you can rejoice in it. Yeah, it's just how you pick it. How many of you resent things? I do. Beets, liver, yeah. Okay, Tracy, and Paul wrote Hebrews. Even though you resent that. No, she doesn't. She didn't resent that. We just have a good time with that. Now, I'll share that with you all sometime if you really want to know about that. But our lives, how they resolve around what God has done. God is always constructive. He's not destructive. He's always looking out for our good. He's always giving us more in our lives. He is doing the very thing. And if it is a tough time, he compensates everything that may be bitter to you. He compensates that with grace, does he not? Does he not provide the good things? Does he not do things in our lives that yeah, I'm having a bummer of a day, but you know, if you really get to look at it, the overall picture is really good. I mean, we're saved. We're not going to hell. Even though adversity is coming today, even though you burn up your nice mowing machine, Richard. I did have to mention that, didn't I? You see, those things happen. But when it comes down to other things in your life, Christian, the Bible says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Why would you do that? Well, if you're like how I see people, if I like you, I'm going to mess with you. Some of you say, I wish you didn't like me as much, but you know, that's right. But if I don't, I just don't say much of anything. I just move right on down the road. But God loves us. And all the things that he does for us, even though it is chastening, even though might take you to the woodshed over that thing, you ought to know, and every one of us ought to get that. This is the way God operates, and this is his heavenly correction that he's making for us to make us better, to give us something that we don't have, or to perfect something in our life that maybe we're just ignorant of it. But God is not ignorant of it, and he's going to do it. But the majority of Christians, I don't think they resent things as bad as they just sometimes resign. They just kind of go, oh, well. You know what I call them? Mopers and whiners. And that's the way I see it. Go around life with a long face like a mule. I love Jesus. Wish he'd do something good for me. You know, they're the first ones to mope and whine about every little thing that comes in their life. I mean every little thing. They're morbid, they're fatalistic, and they're saved. They're going to heaven. They're getting in on the streets of gold and gates of pearl and all the things and being in the presence of Christ. But in this world, they're moping and they're whining about everything that comes right. Their spirit, if you want to find, I know some people that if I needed to be depressed, I'd go see them. I do. Why? Because they're so gloomy. They are. They're just gloomy to be around. I mean, it's just not something I want to be. And I promise you this, they're extremely swift to share that problem. They always want to tell you. They'll burn up the phone lines to let you know. My first landlord that we had when we moved to Hewitt back in the 70s was a deputy sheriff. Big man. But he liked to ride a motorcycle. Well, he rides up to the Methodist Church in Hewitt on First Street. Parks his motorcycle there. He gets off and he's just leaning against it. Well, we had a couple dear ladies, a little older. Now they're flat out, they were just old. And she backs her car up, this one particular one, hits the motorcycle, knocks it over and him with it. But I promise you, before he could even get that bike back up and get back to the house, she'd already been on the phone telling everybody how Marshall Weatherby ran into her. That's a true story. I'm not lying about it. Bless her heart. When she drove down the road, she had an old Galaxy 500. She was so small, she had to look between the steering wheel and the dash. And the dog had its paws up on the dash like this, and you swore the dog was driving the car. And every time I saw her coming, I pulled off in somebody's driveway. But she was okay. She was just sweet. But she's swift to share all the bad things that might come. You're not that, are you? You don't get on the phone. You don't email somebody. You surely don't put it on Facebook. Lord have mercy. Put it out there for everybody to read your poor things. Do you ever tell them, do you ever rejoice evermore on Facebook? Do you ever spend the time that you do on other things and tell them how wondrous God is and how great he is? Or are you resolved just simply to see life as sad as you possibly can? Where's the Christian victory in that? What are we to do with these things? I'm just resigned to accept it. It's a hard road, but I can do it. Really? Who's doing it? Christ is doing it. I'm walking in his strength. I'm not walking in my strength. And the secret of all those things is recognizing that all God has asked me is to cooperate with what he's already doing. And that's all that he's asking any Christian. There's victory in failures that we see as failures. There is joy even in the midst of deep sorrow. You know, the joy of Scott Eason, yes, I'm sorry, he died of pancreatic cancer. Was it hard to let? Yes, it was extremely hard. He has been sick the last couple years. But he's in heaven today. He's rejoicing with Jeannie today. He's having the blessings of life today. He's going to spend eternity in a place that every one of us talk about. We all want to go. We're just not taking the next boat ride. That's why we're not signing up for that right there. So every sorrow that we have, God says, I've got joy for you in that sorrow. Lose a son. Lose a daughter. Lose a wife, a husband. Lose somebody very close to you. And it just doesn't get any tougher than that at times. But there's great joy in that. God's not working just to disappoint us. He's not delaying his answers just to make you be antsy about it. He's doing it because he has something to build up our souls in. I see some of the greatest things that have happened because of bad things that have happened. I've watched people that have had terrible things happen to them, and they've come out so strong that they will never, ever back up on God. I'm thinking of one right now. He's right up here, right down there on the loop. Was it a bad, tragic thing to fall from 35, 40 feet in the air to the ground and bust up his pelvis and everything as a young man with young kids and a wonderful wife? Yeah, terrible for Matt. I promise you this, that he will come out stronger, much stronger spiritually. And he was already strong spiritually. But he will come out much stronger spiritually because of the hardships that came his way. Ask the Apostle Paul. Listen to the description that is given to us. All the things. Did he resent it? No. He did not resent it. Was he just resigned? Oh, well, it's going to happen to me. I might as well. No. He had joy and surrender to whatever God brought his way. He said, I glory in tribulation. I don't know. Can you glory in a shipwreck? Can you glory in being stoned? Can you glory in lashings? Can you glory in prison? Can you go? I mean, when you didn't do anything. But yet Paul would say, that's my greatest triumphs. I suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. You and I look at the circumstances. Oh, man, it's just so bad. What are we going to do? You've been whipped with lashes anytime soon? You ever gone through the things that he went through? No. Hardly any of us have ever suffered some of the things that Paul had almost on a daily basis. But when he lived with zest in his life. He lived with great joy in his life. He faced death magnificently. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die will be gain. Can we say that? We don't normally say it because most of us don't want to think about dying. But I can say this, that we need to say about life, we need to recognize it is God's life. We need to recognize that we are to rejoice evermore, even in the hard times. We are to say, Lord, you know what's coming my way. And he does. He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows it every moment by moment that takes place in our lives. And I can tell you that just as he did in Paul's life, just as he did in Job's life, just as he did in Jesus Christ's life, it may have been tragic, it may be sorrow, but there was always joy. And it was not something just to endure and just something to make my way through it. But he said, I can do these things. Christians, what kind of Christian are you today? Really? I mean, what kind of Christian are you? I know Christians that are, well, I'll just say they're Christians. But I know Christians that are champions too. I do. I know some that have overcome many, many great obstacles, and their lives glow with the very presence of God. So you got alternatives today. You can resent the things that come your way. You can resign to them and just say, well, I'll endure it. Or you can rejoice in it. Because think of it this way. God allows some things to come into our lives because he knows you have the strength to walk through it. He can't say that about everybody. And he doesn't. Maybe their lives are a little bit easier. Maybe they have things a little bit better than you've got it. But I can tell you this. Maybe God doesn't think that they're able to take those things on. But he knows that you have the ability. And maybe God is using you to be an example to others. You ever think that? I promise you, people are watching each other here. And we may not say it to you all the time. We may not have ever said it. But we watch and we see and we are excited to see how God is taking your life and how that he is molding your life and you have become a godly example of his presence. You walked through adversity and you didn't cry about it. You didn't mope about it. You didn't whine about it. You just simply said, this is what God has allowed in my life and I'm going to rejoice in it. Because one day, he will bring it to fruition. One day you will receive the crown of life. One day, may not be tomorrow, may still be a little while, but you'll know this, God came through as he always does, and he will bless your life. But you've got to have an attitude that makes it happen. So what kind of Christian are you today? I see a lot of champions. I do. And I'm wanting to say God will rejoice with you because he's rejoicing in you. Let's pray.